I'm going to appreciate humor. I don't get affected by the attempt of humor. I get it, right? In this case, like, do more. It's my production. We're live. The more is what? Like, what is it that you expect me? You want me to take a live production and stand up and fight Tony or have a reaction? Like, Tony told a joke. It wasn't a tasteful joke to us. We didn't like it. Okay. Hey, man, fuck that joke. We move on. I don't understand why we stand on a hill and it becomes like this big thing of like, oh, man, the motherfuckers, they do this and they're attacking the culture. It doesn't have to be that. It literally is either you're a fan of this level of content or you're not. And if you're not a fan, then you don't watch it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this special edition Straight Shoot with yours truly. You know I come at you at least a couple of times a week over the digital airwaves of YouTube, courtesy of Straight Shooter Media and Stephen A. And Straight Shooter with Stephen A. As always, I got to take a moment before I do anything to thank my subscribers and followers for the love that you show me. We're up to 1.37 million subscribers. Thanks to all of y'all. Without you, there is no me. Appreciate the love. Keep it coming. And I'm going to keep on coming. Now remember to like and subscribe to the show. You understand? And make sure you just click the button. And, you know, you too shall be the latest member of the Stephen A. Smith Show family, or Straight Shooter with Stephen A. So I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Again, keep the love coming. And I'm going to keep on coming. Contrary to popular belief, this episode is not about me at all in terms of what has been said about me. I already addressed that with Kevin Hart the other day. And just for clarification purposes, the reason I felt compelled to address what Kevin Hart said about me, put me on the Mount Rushmore, folks that didn't like black people and stuff like that, and I didn't like it, is because, just to be open and transparent, I've been through a lot this year. There's a lot of BS that's come my way, and it's a lot of things that I've had to deal with where people that were a part of my inner circle, people that I was tight with, people that I have a lot of love for in my heart, turned their back on me. It's not many, not all, but the few that did, really, really, it hit home, to be quite honest with you. Kevin Hart and I are pretty cool. We've always been cool with one another. He's always been really, really good to me as a person and as a brother, and I really got a lot of love for him. And to see what happened, I only commented on it because it was him. It was coming from him. A roast is a roast. And some of the things that you expect to hear during a roast is pretty damn vile. But I don't give a damn what platform you're on or what the show entails. There are limits to everything. There are lines and third rails with everything and things that you just don't do and certain lines that you just don't cross. And that's what this particular episode is going to be about, that has absolutely positively nothing to do with me, but has everything to do with the now infamous roast that has taken place in early May. I believe May 10th, to be exact, if I remember correctly. You know, I know it's shocking for y'all to believe, but if you know anything about my life, you know to believe it. I don't know half these things until my team tells me, because I'm a busy man. And for those out there who don't believe me, real quick, let me just remind you, I'm the star and co-host of a daily show on ESPN every weekday morning, first take. I'm the host of my own radio show, the eponymous Stephen A. Smith Show, and Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio every weekday. That's 4 live hours of content. I'm also the host of Sirius XM's Straight Shooter with Stephen A., on POTUS Radio, channel 124, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I also do a YouTube show at least twice a week, like I'm doing right now. And I also have owned my own production company where I'm producing scripted and unscripted content. In other words, I'm a very busy man. So when I tell you that I don't know half the stuff that goes on outside of the world of sports or politics, a lot of times, pretty much all the time, I'm telling you the truth, I didn't know until I was alerted to it. I didn't know what Kevin Hart had said about me the other day until it was shown to me that day that I commented on it. And I didn't know all the particulars about the roast until my team informed me, mainly my girl, Sherry. May 10th, 2026. I said, really? That's when it took place? She said, yes, Stephen. I said, where? She said, Netflix. I said, damn. I didn't know. You understand? I'm paying attention to all of that. I got better things to do with my life than watch that stuff, to be quite honest with you. But when I saw all the brouhaha developing and fomenting about this stuff, obviously, I felt compelled to do it. It was the roast of Kevin Hart, aired live on Netflix Sunday, May 10th, 2026, as the grand finale of the Netflix is a joke fest at the Kia Forum in Inglewood, California. It was a nearly three-hour live special. It was executive produced by Kevin Hart. It was hosted by comedian Shane Gillis. It featured a star-studded dais that included Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the one and only Cat Williams, Pete Davidson, Chelsea Handler, Jeff Ross, Regina Hall, and of course, Tom Brady, who a roast was dedicated to last year. There were controversial jokes told by Shane Gillis, told by Tony Hinchcliffe, amongst others, and obviously it created a big brouhaha because a lot of people had a problem with it, no doubt about it. That's how they felt about it, and they made their feelings be known. And that's where the whole controversy has come from. And so looking at this and hearing the stuff about it, I'm like, what the hell was said? What happened? They said, Stephen, you got to go and watch it. You got to go and watch it. So I watched it and I took notes. And I saw some of these jokes. Tony Hinchcliffe, during Netflix, The Roast of Kevin Hart, writes, the black community is so proud of you, Kevin Hart. Right now, George Floyd, remember George Floyd, right? Who was murdered, right? By a police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, right? Courtesy of having the knee of the police officer on his neck for more than 9 minutes. That George Floyd. Right now, George Floyd is looking up at us all, laughing so hard he can't breathe. That's ouch. It's ouch. Man's dead. He's not in attendance. And he dialed in a very vile and disgusting way. With the cameras rolling, with all of us to see, the officer that had his knee on his neck was convicted of murder and is in jail as we speak. Hinchcliffe also made the Floyd reference at the roast of Tom Brady in 2024, comparing Rob Gronkowski to, quote, the final boss in George Floyd, the video game. Remember that? Because that happened. There were additional problematic material, including jokes about slavery, lynching, and the suicide of comedian Cheryl Underwood's late husband in 1990. So those are just some of the things that we're talking about here. Obviously, it warranted a response from a lot of people who really, really had a problem. Shane Gillis, let's not forget him. He poked fun at Hart's height. He cracked Kevin so short they're going to have to lynch him from a bonsai tree. So people had a problem with that. He also opened with jokes built around a slave ship in a bottle, flirted with the N-word multiple times. Meanwhile, Cheryl Underwood is seen on stage warning him from her seat that finishing that word out loud would not end well for him. Did it anyway. Both Hinchcliffe and Gillis also made jokes about Cheryl Underwood's late husband, again, who died by suicide in 1990. Gillis had called Underwood beforehand to inform her, according to reports, he intended to go there, but she says she didn't know the specifics of the material. She later said the jokes were, quote, in poor taste, end quote, even though she was shown laughing in the audience at the time. Chelsea Handler, who performed at the roast herself, called Gillis and Hinchcliffe racist, sexist, and bigots, and said lynching black people is not a joke, it's worse than rape. Michael Che from Saturday Night Live reportedly dropped out before filming and afterward posted on Instagram stories, white guys and black people joke different. He later mocked the roast writing staff by posting a photo of five white male writers associated with Gillis's team. Because you can see the photo right there where, you know, you don't particularly see any black writers. But a lot of people had a problem with it, to say the least. Just to go down a list, Terrence Floyd, the brother of George Floyd. criticized Netflix, the Gianna and George Floyd Foundation called Hinchcliffe a racist comedian and criticized Kevin Hart for laughing rather than stopping it. Minneapolis community leaders, about a dozen black community advocates and leaders from the Twin Cities gathered to denounce the special. Lil Rel Howery called the joke disgusting in a nearly 3-minute Instagram video, saying there was, quote, no reason to bring George Floyd into this, and questioned why the audience didn't boo Hinchcliffe off stage. Tamika Mallory said on Instagram, there's literally nothing funny about how George Floyd was murdered. Allowing that white man or any other man to stand up there and disrespect us while laughing is disgusting. And of course, Steven Jackson from All the Smoke wrote on social media, everybody's laughing until it's their family member that gets murdered. Then it ain't funny. That's just to name a few. I already told you what Chelsea Handler and Michael Chee said and did. Reverend Jamal Bryant posted on Threads, the Kevin Hart roast wasn't comedy. It was disrespect dressed as jokes. In this climate, for it to go unchecked is to give consent. And Meek Mill called it toxic as shit. And critics noted the broader structural issue, putting Hinchcliffe and Gillis at the center of a roast for one of the biggest black comedians of his generation, while black women in the room were working overtime to manage the energy. Before I go any further, let me say this. One could have the opinion of noted comedian Ari Spears. Listen to what he said here. Take a look at this.
Listen, man, you guys need to stop. All this angry outrage over the Kevin Hart roast, what do you think it stops? Everybody's so angry. Everybody's so mad. Kevin this, Kevin that. Kevin is a sellout. Kevin is a coon. He's never been funny. I read one where somebody said he's only Seinfeld funny. He's only funny to white people. If you think that somebody can be worth $500 million and only be funny to white people, and he's never been as funny as Mike Epps, he's never been as funny as Cat Williams, he's corny, you all should be tested for drugs. There's no way you could be worth $500 million and only be funny to one race. Knock it the fuck off. Even if you don't like him, that's just subjective opinion. But Kevin is still going to be Kevin. You understand? And this is a fucking news story. There'll be something new you'll be mad about in the next 3 to 5 days. It was a roast. You understand? It was a fucking roast. That's what happens at roasts. Get over it.
Don't blame Ari Spears for saying what he said one bit. And ain't nobody calling Kevin Hart names this way. Because I've known him for years. And regardless of what I felt the other day, it don't change how much respect I have for him. I can tell you that much. But I do think it's important to point out what Charlamagne Tha God pointed out, which was this right in front of Kevin Hart himself. Check it out.
I was laughing out loud at Tony until that
joke. Until the joke.
But not even just that joke. I don't like when people joke about violent, tragic death. I liked Pete's set, and then I was like, why you had to say that about Charlie
Kirk? Pete had a great set, too. Pete had a Charlie Kirk joke in it. Yeah. Like, would I tell those jokes? No. But do I get why they're being told? Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, I'm not looking at Pete crazy. I'm not looking at Tony crazy. Like, that's what, I know what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. I know your style of comedy.
Respectfully, that ain't good enough. See, the mentality that anything goes with a roast, well, that's not necessarily true. Maybe in a private roast, but not something that's going to be disseminated to the masses and air in over 190 countries, because that's the kind of reach Netflix has. So considering and taking into account the actual audience and what they're going to hear for public consumption, you got to consider that. And you can't just have this mentality. Again, I'm not really disagreeing with Ari Spears, because I get his point. And I understand where Kevin Hart is coming from. But I'm going to tell you where it really, really gets deep and where one could easily say Kevin Hart effed up. More so than at any other point. It evolves around the point that D.L. Hughley made. And I want everybody to listen very, very, very carefully to what D.L. Hughley says here. Because I got to admit, he makes a valid point. Listen to this.
So I think one man's joke is another man's trauma. I think all of us, have the right to either be offended or laugh or whatever. Nobody's trying to intercede. Nobody's trying to make that an issue. What is an issue is there seems to be this idea that only jokes affect one side. And I was struck by when Kevin talked about how, you know, he was talking and he said, what was I supposed to do in the middle of a live broadcast and basically stop somebody from telling a joke? No. But the fact remains that 18 jokes were removed after the live feed. 18. 18 of them were removed, including one that was told about Melania Trump. So if it is that you removed 18, because you very much couldn't have jumped up and stopped somebody from telling a joke, but you and that production were able to take 18 jokes away out of the program so that people not seeing the live feed wouldn't see it. So if you could do that for them, why didn't this happen? And I suspect it is the same reason. People wanted ratings. People wanted controversy. And now you have it. But if you're asking why we are talking about it after 2 weeks, we're talking about a George Floyd joke, I just don't understand after 6 years and many roasts why you're still telling them.
That's D.L. Hughley's perspective. For me, my thinking stopped at the 18 removed jokes. See, I'm an executive producer. I executive produce First Take. I executive produce my SiriusXM shows. I executive produce shows on my YouTube channel. I'm not watching every little thing because I have producers who work under me. And sometimes when stuff is happening in real time, you know what? I'm not there to catch it. I trust that they will. But if I'm watching something, I certainly have the power to make sure that it's edited out. I can tell you that much. And if Kevin Hart, as the executive producer, had the power to edit stuff out, which he did, and you left those jokes in, but you took out the Melania Trump joke, we got a problem. I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm taking D.L. Hughley at his word because I didn't watch the whole episode. But I'm taking D.L. Hughley at his word, and he would know. This is his lane. Being a comedian, being a star comedian for many years, knowing the industry and what comes with it, knowing the particulars that what comes with it, I'm going to trust him on this one. The fact of the matter is, if you left that stuff in about George Floyd, left that stuff in about Sheryl Underwood's husband, left that stuff in about slavery and what have you, but you took out Melania Trump, what's that about? So you worried about the reaction from Donald Trump and how he might believe something is tasteless, but you're not concerned about the black community and how they would feel about things as it pertains to George Floyd, slavery jokes, Sheryl Underwood's husband committing suicide with her right there on stage, etc. That's where it gets a bit deeper. To me, that's the most salient point that was put out there. That's the biggest point that was made of all the people that complained and all the people that got something to say. The bigger point is the point that D.L. Hughley made. A roast is a roast. Kevin Hart's absolutely right. And you got to expect to be offended. He's absolutely right. And you got to expect that some of the material ain't going to be easy to take. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. But if you edited out 18 jokes, how come it couldn't have been 19? How come it couldn't have been 20? How come it couldn't have been 21? Two or three of those jokes getting removed of all the shit that they were saying. That's where it gets a bit deeper. And that's where I think people have a right to be in an uproar over the George Floyd jokes, over the slavery jokes. Sheryl Underwood, as tasteless as that is in the age of mental health awareness and what have you, knowing that her husband committed a suicide in 1990, that's real, real hard for her to take. But then again, if he called her beforehand, Hinchcliffe called her beforehand and said it was an area that he was going to touch and he forewarned her, then there's but so much you can say. Although she did have this to say to my man, Kevin Frazier.
When they talked to me about how they were coming at me, I said, it better be funny. But I also told them, whatever you say, it's not me that you got to deal with. It's who's waiting for you outside. It allowed me to talk about, if you're going to go against my husband taking his life, let's talk about mental health. It's in poor taste, but that's how they roast now. I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know. But if as a comic on a roast, if you don't have a good comeback, you will really damage the whole discussion if you say something whack in return.
Tasteless. Really, really tasteless. kind of cruel, no doubt about it. But it was a joke at her, and she was in attendance. George Floyd ain't there. George Floyd's 6 feet under. And one could argue that her husband's passed away as well. Her husband died as well. But George Floyd, there was nobody there to absorb, to laugh it off, to take into account that it was a roast and that's it. And I rolled with Charlamagne and others on this from the standpoint of, you know, I saw Joy Behar, believe it or not, on The View talking about this, where she said, hey, you know what? Don't touch the dead. They're not there. When you're doing a roast, it's pretty much reserved for people in that room that are a part of the roast, you know. And I guess one could easily argue that those in attendance are a part of the roast because they chose to be in attendance for it, even though they're not the primary target, you know, of the roast. But even that doesn't necessarily support Kevin Hart in this particular situation, because if you remember when the roast of Tom Brady existed, you had one of the comedians standing up there telling a joke about Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots. And when he got in trouble with the whole massage, masseuse issues in Florida. And watch what Tom Brady does here. Take a look at this.
That scrawny rookie famously walked into the owner, Robert Kraft's office, and said, I'm the best decision your organization has ever made. Would you like a massage? I love Robert Kraft.
Don't say that shit again.
Okay.
Tom Brady, it's his roast. He's being roasted. Gets up and tells the comedian, don't do that shit again. So if he could do that at his roast, where he was the target, one could argue, why couldn't Kevin Hart have done that as the executive producer? You may not have been able to stop the joke from happening because it's live, but you could have whispered to the brother, change the subject, go someplace else. And you certainly could have edited it out, since you edited out 18 different jokes, according to D.L. Hughley, assuming that's true, and I'm assuming it's true. So all of that being said, that's what this comes down to. We can sit up there and dissect it all we want to, but I flow with Charlamagne Tha God and others on this from the standpoint, leave the dead alone, let them rest in peace. Because what's funny about a violent death? What's funny about somebody getting murdered? Where's the possible humor in that? Sometimes people may not know how to react in real time. Everybody want to talk about Cheryl Underwood was laughing a little bit at it. You saw what she said to Kevin Frazier in the aftermath of it on Entertainment Tonight. She said she didn't know that stuff was coming. And it was tasteless. But while she's on stage, you're trying not to ruin the whole broadcast and have such a heightened level of sensitivity that it gets caught up in the shuffle. And it compromises the overall broadcast, particularly when you consider the fact that even though in that room and it's airing live at that particular moment in time, ultimately what's going to be disseminated to the masses into perpetuity is not going to include that kind of stuff because it would have been edited out, yet it was not. Still in all, with all of that being said, the good far outweighs the bad. And what we don't need to do is be engaging in condemnation when it comes to Kevin Hart. Like, all of a sudden, we going to hate on him and we not going to support the brother. The man's been doing great work for decades. He's a superstar in this world that does far more good than bad. You try new shit, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And he's absolutely right where you can't control what emanates out the mouth of comedians. And let me not be a hypocrite. I'm one who has repeatedly lamented the state of affairs in the comedic world from the standpoint I think they've been victimized by a heightened sensitivity that exists in this world where you damn near can't say anything without people going off. Everybody's fair game. I understand that too. When I spoke out the other week, I would not have said anything about what Kevin Hart said if that had come from one of the comedians. My issue was that it came from him. Because he has an idea of what the last year has been like for me. And then I went home and I slept on it. And even though I meant what I said, I sort of felt good about it because I woke up stronger. And I said, okay, this is the world we're living in. Cool. It don't matter. I can really take it because I know I can give it at my discretion. And I'm good. But speaking specifically about this roast, it wasn't great because too many people walked away too offended about too many things. Yes, stuff happens during a roast, but the objective is to walk away with far more laughter than anything. And when the reaction is far more offended and insulted than entertained, is the emotion you depart feeling. Not just as people in the audience, but the audience watching. Not just nationwide, but worldwide. It's a problem. D.L. Hughley made the biggest point of all. 18 clips were edited out. I did not know that. One of them included Melania Trump. I did not know that. And if a roast is a roast and that's the way that it goes and Kevin Hart wants to be on the Breakfast Club saying all of that, then why wasn't the Melania Trump joke left in? Again, I didn't see it. I'm only going by what D.L. Hughley said. I didn't see that part. But why was it not left in? Could it be because Trump has targeted comedians? Whether it be Jimmy Kimmel? Stephen Colbert? Or anybody else in the comedic world? Could it be that there was fear that retribution would come their way in the event that Melania Trump harbored a heightened level of sensitivity to whatever was said about her? Took umbrage and offense to it? And folks were fearful of that? Well, if you were fearful of that, and that's where your sensitivity emanates from, then what you're showing is that you had no fear about how the black community or anybody else would react to those tasteless jokes. That's what we're talking about. Again, a roast is a roast. Ari Spears makes a very valid point as well. People are there, get your feelings hurt, to get insulted. But George Floyd wasn't there. And one other thing that's very, very important to be said. We don't want to hear the N-word from folks outside the black community. We can use it with each other. We don't want to hear that shit from you if you're white. No matter how cool you are, no matter how down you think you appear to be, no matter how much you vibe with brothers and sisters in your own way, whatever way that is, black folks don't want to hear that shit from somebody that ain't black. It's taken differently because of the historical context attached to it. And it's one thing for it to come out of your mouth. That's bad enough. It's one thing for you to echo it because it came from a song or from another person or whatever. That's bad enough. But it's another thing for it to ooze out of your mouth with the fluidity that it came out during this special. Don't get too comfortable. Might be the roast and all that other stuff, but for the most part, black people don't play that shit. Say it in the streets, it'll be a different problem. Which you know. So if you wouldn't do it there, why do it at the roast? Unless, of course, you just wanted to say, this is how some of us really, really feel and how we really, really act when we're away from y'all. I'm just saying. Let me move on to a different subject. Involving, you know, a proud announcement that I actually have to make, believe it or not. And that is involving a new show that I've developed under the umbrella Straight Shooter Media that I wanted y'all to know about. It's called The Culture Table. You know, I wanted, you know, so many times I take a position and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that feel like, you know, it's the male perspective, but not every male thinks that way. It's not enough of a female perspective. Stephen A., where's the heightened level of sensitivity to the ladies, blah, 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 blah. I was raised by five black women. Four older sisters and the greatest mother a man could ever hope to have. God rest her soul, my mother, Janet Smith. And contrary to narratives that have tried to be created out there, I happen to believe there is nothing more marvelous than black women. I was raised by them. Of the 15 nieces and nephews that I have, meaning nieces and nephews and great nieces, combined is about 15, 16 of them. Only three are boys, men. Other 13 are girls. Got two daughters. 90% of my relatives are females. In other words, women have been running my life since I was born. I am very, very accustomed and very, very comfortable with strong black women who are knowledgeable, smart, articulate, unafraid to speak their mind, and who also happen to be beautiful. And so I decided to put forth a show that was going to feature a few of these women, but with a twist. And that twist is my man Kevin Frazier hosting that show from Entertainment Tonight. He's been my boy for over 30 years. He's a part owner of my production company and my media company, Straight Shooter Media. And I know that he is a professional instigator. You want to talk about somebody that knows how to start some shit, that's Kevin Frazier. His feud, that's better. You understand what I'm saying? And does it with a smile on his face and is unassuming and unalarming and all of that other stuff. In other words, some would argue the antithesis of me. It's Kevin Frazier. And just to give y'all a taste of what the show is like, you understand, I wanted to show y'all this little clip here. Remember, to watch it, just head over to Straight Shooter Media, YouTube. Check out the very first episode of The Culture Table that was posted last night. And a like and subscribe and become a part of that discussion. You know how to do that. Just click the bell there and do that. I'll tell you a little bit more about it in a second. I just wanted to play this little clip for you so you can see what I'm talking about.
I think there are several reasons why women in the 40-year-old range are experiencing loneliness. But I'll tackle one of them. And I think it's because, speaking for my community, black women, we run shit. We run shit, right? And that can be incredibly intimidating.
Why you gotta do? Why do you gotta go to the? We're intimidated. Y'all are too intimidated to be with us. That is come on.
Yes, that is a thing.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That is absolutely a thing.
Go ahead.
We are the most educated demographic. Mm-hmm. We run businesses at the highest rate. Mm-hmm. We are starting businesses at the highest rate. Mm-hmm. We are running our households.
Why are you lonely?
Because black men sometimes can be intimidated by the success of a career-driven black woman.
So you're saying we're scared?
That's precisely what I'm saying.
You're saying black men are scared?
Yeah.
Be with black women.
Some of y'all are.
See, I played that for you because, damn it, that just because I love my sisters don't mean they don't get on my damn nerves. But they are free to speak their minds. You see what I'm saying? I'm the executive producer of this show. So is Kevin Frazier. Cats like my man Rashawn McDonald will be producing the show. Sherry McCovey's going to be on top of things and all of this other stuff. The three ladies that you saw there, one is Ashley Christopher, a lawyer and the founder of HBCU Week, who has me as the ambassador for that. She's done a phenomenal job doing that. The other is Tori Cooper, a longtime journalist. Currently based out of Atlanta, does great, great work, highly intelligent lady, very sensational at what she does. And the other person is my longtime executive and personal assistant, Sumatra Abernathy, who is my right hand. Let me say, with all of that, and with love, because I just finished seeing the Michael Jackson movie, Michael. You know, remember when he sat in the music producer's office or the producer's office, CBS, and he was like, with love, try harder. Remember that? Remember that when he wanted his stuff on MTV? He said, with love, try harder. I'm going to say it one more time. With love, try harder. You know, I bring that up and that came to my mind because, you know, although I'm producing the show and I'm not planning on being on too much because I want the ladies to have the freedom. See, when Ashley said that shit right there, I said, you know something? I need to be on with them weekly. Not full show, but I need to let them do their thing and make a guest-like appearance once a week because of the shit that she just said. That's right, I said it. See, there are men that you have that, I mean, they are good men, but in the same breath, they too damn soft at times. See, Kevin is married, and Kevin's wife is a lawyer. So, ladies and gentlemen, it ain't just about going home at night, and that's an incentive to be careful, but she's a lawyer and a big-time lawyer. And as a result, he got to be extra careful about what the hell he says. I don't have that problem. I don't have that problem. Now, obviously, I'm not alone in my life. Nobody's trying to imply that. But what I'm saying is, I ain't got to worry about that. Because, I'm not married and damn sure I wouldn't be to a lawyer. I ain't got to worry about legalese and the court system taking me down if my woman don't like what I say. You understand? I don't have that problem. Kevin actually does. And see, that's the problem. So understand who I pride myself in being. I am what you would call the anti-Oprah. Now, what do I mean by that? Because I love me some Oprah Winfrey. She is the queen. Nothing but love for her. And I love me some Gayle King, who's a friend of mine on CBS, doing CBS in the mornings. I've known him for years, known Gayle for years. She's a dear friend. But when I say the anti-Oprah, I'm talking about that age that was introduced where the ladies publicized and perpetuated their victimhood. And rightfully so. Because damn it, most of the time, women are done wrong. I know this. I was raised by them. I get it. But not all the time. Sometimes we're right. And when Ashley sits up there and she says men are intimidated, right? This is what I mean by the victimhood. I'm certainly not trying to imply that that's continuous or always. Because again, most of the time, dudes need to do better because we could be trifling as hell. Totally true. Rashawn, get the hell over it. You one of them. You just grew up. You understand what I'm saying? You're older now, so you ain't got to be that way. But you ain't fooling nobody, Rashawn. You just as bad as a typical dude out here in your heydays. Just stop it, okay? All right? Here's the deal, y'all. Here's the deal. And Kevin, don't get me started. See, I'm not the Benedict Arnold that Kevin is. But let me tell you something right now. This dude walks around like Innocent Abe. Trust you me. That is far from the truth with his trifling ass stuff. Kevin got some skeletons too. Yeah, I'm just not going to go there. I'm just not going to do that to my boy. I'm not going to do that to my boy. But let me tell you this. He would do it to me because he Oprah-fied. He Oprah-fied. That's what I call him, Oprah-fied. All right? Where women are wronged, the men are the ones doing wrong, and the Ashley Christopher, the seeds that are put out there, the brethren of that movement and stuff like that, could say something like that with a straight face and never bring up, ladies and gentlemen, never bring up, well, what did you do to induce the dude to act that way? Men are intimidated. Men are messed up over a successful woman? Could it be because the successful woman comes home and is reminding you of her success to the degree that she neglects you? Is that possible? Is it possible that you are that woman and you the breadwinner? So you like, shoot, I'm the man in this relationship too. I'm both. Is that possible? Is it possible? Yes, I'm going back there to the cooking. Is it possible? Hell, I've been working all day. Why I gotta cook for you for? Why don't you cook for me? Is it possible? Is it possible? She looking all fine and got your mind on other things and you want that tonight, if not now. And she's like, wait, I'm tired. Or wait, I'm preoccupied. Or wait, what have you done to deserve this? Is it possible? Ashley didn't bring none of that up. And that damn Kevin didn't bring it up either. See, this is why Stephen A. is needed. To the fellas out there, I'm here. I got your back. See, we ain't going to depend on just Kevin. Because sometimes he iffy. Sometimes he there, sometimes he not. I'm not sold. I'm not sold. That is a classic example of what the culture table is going to be about. Because I got some stuff up my sleeve for the culture table. You see, ladies, you're the mothers of the earth. Do you know what that means? That no matter what is ultimately created, you're the ones who give birth to it. We contribute, of course, but you're the one who gives birth to it. And that's exactly what I intend for the culture table to do under the Straight Shooter Media umbrella. It's going to tackle subjects that are going to provoke conversation, not just nationwide, but I believe across the globe. We don't run from conversations. We're going to embrace them. I'm hopeful that my brother, Kevin Frazier, steps up to the challenge and handles his business. But I'm looking at that opening right there. And I don't have all the faith in the world that he gonna have that. It's all friendly and hugging and singing Kumbaya walking down the street. It looks nice. But it might need some testosterone thrown into the mix of all that estrogen. That male, the men feeling like, yo! We ain't having this. Kevin's outstanding. That brother's going to do a fantastic job dealing with those ladies. But he's going to have his moments where he slips. And he's going to let stuff slide. Like what Ashley said right there. I won't. I can tell you that. 2026 is going to be a very special year, the second half of the year. 2027 is going to be even better. Buckle up, y'all. Here we come. The culture table. You heard me? The culture table is what it's called. And they may not want their names out on Front Street, but I don't give a damn. I'm going to put it out there anyway. Ashley Christopher, Tori Cooper, and Sumatra Abernathy. You can't just want to give heat. You got to want to take it. We'll make a little exception for Kevin Frazier. As he bragged about, the wife's a lawyer. He's got concerns. 99% of the time, he going to be that dude. But that 1% of the time he ain't, I'll be there. I'll be there. Just call my name and I'll be there. Can't sing like Michael, but I'm in that mood because I just saw the movie again. The Culture Table, y'all. Check it out. It's coming. Buckle up. Get yourself ready. There's new stuff coming your way. Straight Shooter Media, YouTube. Check out the very first episode of The Culture Table. Enjoy your weekend. I'll see y'all soon. Peace and love. For now. For now.